The P, the U, the R, the E, the B, the O, the Y, the S, it's Pure Boys.
Hold up,
it's Pure Boys.
Yeah, I got two throats.
The P, the U, the R, the E, the B, the O, the Y, the S, it's Pure Boys.
Hold up,
it's Pure Boys.
Say what? What's up, Fudgebaggers? Welcome to Pure Boys Podcast. I'm Adam, and Urine.
And Urine. Also, I'm Steve, and we're the Pure Boys. We're coming to you to review another Christian movie, and we're excited today, I think.
Christian as frick this movie is. Oh my gosh. I mean, how could it not be Christian as frick? It takes place at CCU, a Christian University of California.
Yeah, and it's about mountains that we need to overcome in our lives, which I think hits everybody in a raw place.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Because this week, we're talking about 2021's Chloe's Mountains.
Get over that mountain. I just wanted to quickly go back
sure.
to that beautiful theme song that you have created for this podcast.
Of course. I'll pour my Mr. Browns while you do that.
It's, well, I figured if we ever want to do a short version of that, you could start at, stop after it's the P, because that's where I thought you were going to stop.
The P. That's it. That's all
that
you need.
That could be the midweek retreat.
New year, new P.
2023, though.
Well, of course. This year, 2022, here comes the glue, so... Obviously, this theme song will have to stay in its current form until 2023, and then we will change it to the P, and that's it.
And that's it. Mm-hmm. I keep forgetting that we're the Pure Boys because I don't know.
What do you mean? We're the Pure Boys. Always have been, always will be.
Yeah, but I forget because my brain don't work so good.
And this guy texted me this morning telling me he's sober.
Sober as a clam. Oh my god, am I so sober. I woke up this morning, had a coffee, had a water, and now I'm sober.
I'm currently drinking a delicious can of Monsieur Brun, my favorite pre-made coffee drink out of Venezuela or wherever the hell it comes from. Delicious.
Well, we got the hookup because we're in Haiti. We're just like a direct boat ride right over the sea.
That's right. Mr. Brown is my neighbor as far as I'm concerned.
Mr. Brown is all our neighbors, but that's God. That's God for you.
Exactly. That's George Lopez. That's George Lopez in a nutshell. He's Mr. Brown, and he's our neighbor.
Speaking of George Lopez,
sure.
Should we do Whom Was Your Bagger Vance of the previous film?
Sure. Yeah, okay. Absolutely. We can jump right into it. Here we go. So, Steve, I ask you, whom was the Bagger Vance of Walking with Herb?
Well, I'm delighted that you've asked, because I've been thinking about it all week. I'm really gonna really put some mental effort into this each week and try to find, you know, maybe not your first choice for Bagger Vance.
Sure.
But this movie was Legend of Bagger Vance, basically, in God form. And I feel you can't shy away from calling George Lopez the Bagger Vance of Walking with Herb.
Wow. Bold choice. Both expected and unexpected.
Yeah. I couldn't get away from the expected. Yeah, you could go with the dog. Yeah, you could go with the winking dove. I mean, the winking dove is a smart choice.
Yeah.
But I just couldn't get away from the fact that he literally plays a role
Bagger
very
Vance,
similar
yeah.
to Bagger Vance. Yeah.
I mean, you could have gone with Gabe Berkowitz, but you chose not. You could have gone with Dead Baby Casket, but
yeah.
That's an interesting theory, and you know what? I'll support you on that. This one seems like it was tailor-made for this segment.
Yeah. Yeah, hole in one, if you will. I'm going to ask you, whom was your Bagger Vance of Walking with Herb? Because I think it has to be stated.
Well, this might surprise you, but my Bagger Vance was Edward James Olmos. I think that he represented the vibe of what I think Bagger Vance is like, in that he helped people, he made Pippin a better person, he befriended Shooter McGavin, And ultimately, he made the sacrifice needed in order to allow Pippin to find the love of his 100-year-old dad because Pippin's 57 years old. And that's my Beggar Vance.
Well, I'm here to support you. I believe that
segment's
he is
over.
The Beggar Vance.
No, segment's over. Doesn't matter.
Okay, yeah, we're done.
We have 2 minutes and 11 seconds to figure out who the Beggar Vance is. That's...
But there's so much there. We could talk for hours, which is good why we have the 2 and 11 cutoff.
There. Exactly. We're limiting ourselves because we don't want this show to become a bloated mess where you just listen to two dingleberries, but mostly one dingleberry just boringly describe the plot of a bad movie. We want to keep it peppy, keep it moving, you know?
Honestly, I'm thinking that maybe we should cut out the whole review process of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
We should get rid of that 45-minute chunk where we describe the plot and everything
chunk.
That happens
yeah.
into it. Ugh. And we should just talk about whom the Beggar Vance is in the film.
Whom the Beggar Vance is and why.
Yeah.
I mean, am I smelling a spinoff? Maybe a Wednesday show just called entitled "Whom's the Beggar Vance?" And then we just watch things and tell you who the Beggar Vance is in them. Write into pureboyspod@gmail.com. Let us know if you want that as an extra show.
We have so much mail that we go through every single day, but we're yeah. dedicated.
Exactly. None of that mail is related to the podcast. It's just bills and, credit cards that are like, hey, if you could claim this card, get 10 grand. Go for it. No strings attached.
Haitian cooter shots. A lot of those.
What is a Haitian cooter shot?
Well, you know, of the, the thing down there.
You're talking about all the cooter shots that our Haitian fans
yeah.
send us, like Mr. Brown.
Yeah.
You go, Mr.
Exactly.
Brown, where did you get this cooter shot? And he goes, I took it when I was on the bus. I held my phone down. She didn't even know I took it. And we go, don't send us stuff like that, Mr. Brown. We don't want that stuff.
Sometimes you don't want to take a picture, but the lighting is perfect and you have to.
Exactly. Sometimes the Lord speaks through you on a bus and goes, take this upskirt. The lighting is going to be perfect for it. And you go, who am I to deny the will of the Lord?
Yeah.
Exactly.
No, definitely. Whom am I to deny Beggar Vance?
Correct. Well, I might, we might disagree on whom the Beggar Vance of Walking with Herb was, but there is
yeah.
one thing we can agree on. This next man is the Beggar Vance of our show, and that's because it's time for
the Kevin Sorbo Tweet of the Week.
Whom the Beggar Vance is of this show? That's something we really could get into, but I will tarry no further. This is at 12:12 p.m. on January 2nd.
What?
Getting a little over January 1st.
Yeah, a little hangover. He had to puke out black from the night before, and now he's, back in the saddle again.
Oh, definitely back in the saddle again. Can we play that song?
Nope.
Okay. it's harder to get into some restaurants in New York than it is to vote.
Well, sure. Yeah.
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 That makes sense.
It's called exclusivity. It's like,
yeah.
Sorry, Kev, that you're not allowed into into Guy Fieri's Times Square restaurant, but...
Which everybody can get into.
Well, I'm sure Guy Fieri has all kinds of rules in place for whom is allowed in and out of his restaurant. Out, especially.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. He funnels the out, for
oh,
sure.
Absolutely, yeah. Some of you go out the front door, some of you become the soup of the day.
Yeah, you've heard it here first. He's a cannibal, and he's feeding everybody human beings.
Everybody thinks they love Guy Fieri, but if you knew how many people he's eaten, you'd probably reconsider some of that love.
Well, you could be super nice and, like, a really good person, but also murder a bunch of people and then feed it to a bunch of people.
For sure, absolutely. I mean, look at Armie Hammer. He lost his entire career on the whiff of the idea that he might be a cannibal. And then that's it. Now there's no more Armie Hammer.
Can you give me a 2-sentence description on who Armie Hammer is?
Actor, not Henry Cavill. There you go.
Okay.
Pretty perfect description of him. Yep.
Done.
Oh, well. Hey, you know what? Wouldn't it be wild if we just found out that, like, Tom Hanks was a cannibal or something like that? Like, just if, like... If, like, cannibalism became, like, the new hot trend in Hollywood, that would be bizarre, right?
That'd be really funny. I would chortle at that for sure. Yeah. I think Q would have a field day and all those weirdos.
Hey, we made it past the one-year anniversary of the dumb insurrection. Very exciting stuff. There wasn't another dumb insurrection on that day, so that's pretty fun. Congratulations.
How do you celebrate?
I, like, remembered at, like, 9 p.m. that it was that day. And was like, oh, nards. I didn't do anything. Just, I didn't get a cake or nothing.
Oh, nards.
Aw. I mean, I did, of course, go back and read all of Kevin Sorbo's tweets that he did during the insurrection. And it was very funny watching him, like, completely backpedal and panic and being, like... His first couple of tweets were like, it's finally happening, like, the storm is here, I can't wait. And then by the end of the day, he's like, Antifa did the insurrection. Like, okay, Kev, good luck. You know that we saw all the tweets, right? We saw the whole thing, right? It was a treat.
The tweets are there, babe.
Hey, babe.
I think that was kind of the storyline throughout the whole thing. Like, a lot of people went that way because... They were told to go the Antifa route.
I don't know. Who knows? This is not a political podcast, but, Kevin.
Yeah.
Sorry the storm didn't blow through the way you wanted it to, but maybe you can blow next time. Anyway, that's the end of the song. We can't hear the end of the song. Don't want to hear the last few notes, so.
Yeah. We're sorry, Kevin.
No, I'm not sorry.
You just said you were sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
All right, we got the segments out of the way.
That's right. So now it's time to let's go, let's God, and sneak a peek at Chloe's Mountains. 2021, a great year for cinema. We got Walking with Herb. We got Chloe's Mountain. We got Spider-Man No Way Home. Just all great films that came out in 2021.
Cinema that really makes you think. Yeah, that's all I can say about that.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, oh, so we start this movie, and I'm very excited to see an old friend pop up. Bridgestone Multimedia Group, back at it again. I went to their website and looked through all of their movies. They have a list of all the movies they've made, and it's just the PureFlix catalog. We have seen two of their movies, three now with Chloe's Mountain. Can you tell me what the two other movies we saw from Bridgestone Media Group?
Was it Selfie Dad?
No.
I keep thinking they did Selfie Dad, and I'm so wrong.
But Selfie Dad was, I think, made by a company that we saw other movies for. Like, I think you're onto something. It's just a different company than you're thinking. They did Chloe's Mountain. They did Merry Christmas Oranges.
Of course, yeah. Merry Christmas Oranges to you.
And of Merry Christmas Oranges to you, of course, and your family and your kin. Yeah. And they, of course, did the finest of midweek freak treats, Fat Chance. I don't even have to censor it on this one. I can just call it Fat Bitch right to its face. It's great.
You Fat Chance.
You Fat Chance. So we've dipped our wick in quite a few Bridgestone Multimedia Group productions, and I'm looking forward to watching more of them. They did a bunch of horse movies, so including the original Horse Camp. They did that one.
So we watched a ton of horse movies last summer, and none of them were Bridgestone Media Group.
Nope. Not
That's
a single.
Crazy.
We somehow ducked and dived and dodged around all of their movies. But I looking at their list, I went, oh, a lot of these horse movies are in our favorites. They're just not ones that we picked to watch. So next summer is going to be Cowgirl Summer, brought to you by Bridgestone Multimedia Group. Very excited about it.
Yeah, we should get them on the hook for a milli on that at least.
I mean, I don't disagree, and from the looks of the product that they put out, we could make a movie for them. We could get a movie produced by Bridgestone Multimedia Group. As long as we say God, like, six times in the movie, they would make it for us.
I want somebody reading out of the Bible every second scene when we make a film.
Like a guy just walking around in the background.
Yeah. Normal guy, not a creepy pastor like is in this movie.
Oh my god. I looked up that creepy pastor, on IMDb, and his write-up is hilarious. It's like a full autobiography on him, but he's like been in this movie and that's it. It's cool. Like, I don't know if you know what IMDb is for, my man. I don't think you need your biography on there.
Well, he's trying to shoot a shot. He saw a little bit of the lights, the camera, the backstage, the craft services, and he really wants more. And his way of doing that was through his IMDb bio.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Well, his bio starts when he was 12 years old, and I went, this guy's like 70. Were we going to go through the whole shebang? Like, is he going to talk about watching the moon landing live? Oh, my gosh.
Definitely watch the moon landing live. So say we all, though. We were all there in spirit.
Yeah, of course, of course. We've all been to the moon in spirit.
Yeah, definitely. Have you clocked that, like, every single pastor in these movies are creepy?
Yeah.
Like, just really weird in just, like, their being. They're just gross a bit.
They all have bad haircuts. That's a weird red flag. Like they all have bad haircuts that look, and they look like real people. Like they don't look like actors. They look like, oh, this is my actual pastor who I've brought in to do this. Don't worry about his bowl cut. Like don't even sweat it. Like the school's pastor in this movie, not the guy who takes the dog, but the other pastor who baptizes her. That guy just has the worst haircut I've ever seen. And I go, well, you've got to be a real person then, because they wouldn't, like, the hair and makeup people wouldn't do that to you for the movie, right? You know what I mean?
Yeah. They just show up and go, because a pastor doesn't need makeup or hair, for sure. I feel like it's every pastor's dream to be asked to be in a local movie that is done by Bridgestone Media Group.
Well, here's the thing. If we watch the PureFlix podcast, we'll find out the pastor who did Kanye West Sunday Service thing. We can find out exactly what that experience is like being a pastor and getting into a movie.
Yes.
Selfie dad. That's what I'm talking about. But
I'd like to give a selfie of my dad, if you know what I mean.
Hey, are we talking about coot shots again or whatever you said?
Cooter, baby.
Cooter. You know, there is something this is a theory that I think we're going to work on as this show goes on, like the series, not this episode, but the whole thing. Uh-huh. But there is something very off-putting about like super Christian men or like young men. Like, the boys in this movie, Caleb and the other guy, there's something, like, very off-putting about them. Like, they're, like, it's almost like, do you remember that movie, The Stepford Wives?
No.
Should
I have said yes?
Yeah, because now I have to explain it, and I don't really, they're like fake. They're like, it's like you took a person, you replaced them with a robot or like an alien or something like that. And the way they talk and behave is like close to how normal people talk and behave, but not quite. Like there's not the joie de vivre that like a normal person has. I don't know. Again, this is a work in progress theory. So, but there's something.
Well, they
off.
Got a bit of the old case of the old dead eyes. And not in, like, a good way.
Right.
In, like, a creepy way that, like, they're just trying to, like, get themselves put into society in some weird, creepy way.
It's bizarre. We'll have to watch more movies and learn more about Christian boys, because there's something off about them, and I can't quite figure it out yet.
Having said that, we love all priests.
And all boys, of course, the purest of boys here, including Adam and Steve, the OG's original men. And so we get it. We know where you're coming from.
Obviously, we're projecting because we're the purest of boys.
Of course. And we're very afraid of not making it into heaven when God eventually flips our kill switch and then we can die.
Yeah, I don't know. We're God's favorite podcast. I feel like we're getting it.
That's true. Hey, we've been alive for like 5,000 years. How do you want to die? What's like, you've seen it all. You've seen all the different ways to die. What would be the way that you'd want to do it?
I want to be pulled apart by a couple of horses.
Man, that's so funny. I was thinking literally the same thing. It's like drawn and quartered.
Well, there you go.
Drawn and quartered. That sounds great. Scatter my ashes to the four winds. That sounds awesome.
Yeah, I would have to have a couple of cowgirls on each horse.
Of course. Yeah, the sweethearts of the rodeo.
Yeah, the sweethearts of the rodeo. Exactly. Yeah. They both have to have American flags.
Yeah.
Outfits are whatever.
No,
I don't care
no.
if you're wearing the blue and red.
Oh, I want the blue and red. I want the white chaps with the tassels. I want the full meal deal.
I want them to be comfortable, but I do want them to have American flags.
I want them to be comfortable when they rip me limb from limb with their horses
yeah.
at the local rodeo in Tennessee.
And as soon as you hear that horrific, like, splitting apart of my body,
yep.
I want a yee-haw from both of them.
Of course. I want a Yahweh from both of them.
And then maybe, like, fireworks in the background.
Sure. Yeah. That's a good call. Wait. So in your scenario, there's just two horses? So
yep.
one horse for arms, one horse for legs?
Yeah.
Oh, see, I'm thinking four horses of the apocalypse, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
Two, one on each arm, one on each leg, and they just split me asunder. That sounds like a dream come true.
My dream is that I'm in like a recently harvested cornfield.
Okay, yeah.
And kind of in a valley, and there's like two prominent mountains in the back, like, and the sun is coming up betwixt them,
mm-hmm.
and then I get pulled apart by two horses.
Can we call them Clobie's Mountains?
No.
Well, too late. We already are.
Okay. Well, it's my death, but I get it.
Yeah, that's it. Hey, it's your death, but we're workshopping it, so we're gonna fine-tune it so people really love it.
I agree. I couldn't agree more.
Listeners, tweet at us at Pure Boys Podcast on Twitter and tell us how you'd like to die, and we'll compile all the best ones and read them out on the show next week.
Adam...
Steve,
how cold are you?
Just a little chilly. I have to turn my furnace off because it's loud, and when we record, it's just too loud. So I have to go raw dog, no furnace, and it's currently minus like 40 here in Haiti, so degrees Celsius, and so yeah, it gets a little cold in here. So yeah, that's the way she goes.
Well, we'll check in about 15 to 30 minutes, and we'll get a new number, even though you didn't give us an original
Oh,
number.
Here's a number. I'm feeling about 3 cold right now.
Oh, thank you.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. A 3 out of 500.
Okay, thank you.
So, but not even cold at all. I don't even register cold. Just kidding, my toes are cold, but that's fine. I can
wear socks.
Wearing them. Doesn't matter when it's minus 40. Hey, what'd you think of the music in this movie, in Chloe's Mountain?
I thought it was progressive rock.
Yes. I agree. I thought it was progressive rock as well.
What do you think of the music in this movie?
It sucked.
I thought it was so good. It's really reaching out to a new generation of music listeners.
Yes, I agree. They're reaching out. They're making connections. Hey, are you a young punk who loves just hard rock and you just you want open chords and that's it? Well, then have we got the movie soundtrack for you?
Do you love gothing out with your coolest besties? Then this movie is for you, musically.
Do you love shoving butt-length hair underneath a bob-cut, bright blue wig for no reason? Who is that for, Chloe? What is your deal?
Yeah, where is this girl getting all this money for wigs? Like,
well,
there's
dead parents.
Wig stores.
Yeah, but dead parents. I mean, she probably got a little chunk of change from two dead parents.
She shaved their hair. And
yeah.
Dyed it.
Her dad had a beautiful shoulder length, bright blue hair. She shaved it all off when he died. Never clear how they died, but both her parents are dead.
Well, I'm assuming her father, since we know about the hair now, is Fabio, and it's an alternate universe where he died when he got hit by that bird on the roller coaster.
Right, yeah. Goose
and
game.
Then the mom equally had a nice hair and probably just like died of grief.
Yeah, died of a broken heart.
Yeah.
Just laid down one day and went, I just can't get back up. Good night, nurse. And that was it.
Yeah, is that what you're going to say when you get, you know, pulled apart?
Drawn and quartered? Yeah. Yeah, I love the Animaniacs, so I definitely would yell something like that.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. I mean, my last words are probably just going to be butt stuff and then ripped apart.
Oh, stuff your butt with butt stuff.
Of course, yeah. Probably my last words are going to be, God, please turn off my death switch. This sucks, actually.
I want to live.
This is super lame, actually.
Yeah, lame. Yeah. Well, after 5,000 years, it's definitely going to be lame.
Well, of course, yeah. So Chloe's Mountain is a movie about a girl named Chloe.
And death.
Oh, death haunts this woman, like this girl, like a specter, just following her, touching everything around her and killing it and leaving her unscathed and as a survivor.
Well, we've touched on it, but when the movie starts, her parents are just recently gone.
Yeah, even though it seems like she's quite settled in at grandma's at that point, it's like, well, nah, she just got here from the sounds of it.
It is grandma's. She probably goes there Christmases, summers, stuff right. like that.
Yeah, that's a really good point. Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's her Christmas ranch.
Yeah, she says that a lot, which is really out of place for the whole movie.
Yeah, parents are dead. You know what I love about death in this movie? I love that people use their death to strong-arm Chloe into doing things she doesn't want to do. And I love when death is used to manipulate others. I think that's just the greatest gift you can give a loved one is saddling your death with all kinds of baggage for the people left behind. It's a very loving gesture.
Yeah, this movie, when it comes down to it, is basically just cramming Chloe into a specific path of life.
Yeah, that others have decided she should be in, and do not give her any choice about it. And when you die on your deathbed, go, keep on this path or I will go to hell. Oh, like, I have to now. I don't want grandma to go to hell.
Going to hell. Going to heck.
Going to heck. Going to heck in a handbasket, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Chloe's in a band with... Here's the thing about all of the actors in this movie. They are all electric Ethans, and I don't like any of them. Every performance is a bad performance in this movie. They're all electric, especially the boys are all electric. I thought Electric Ethan was in this movie, and then it wasn't him, but yeesh.
Well... There's four people in the band, including Chloe. Mm-hmm. You got Chloe on lead vocals.
Yeah, although not actually. I don't think she can play guitar or sing based on like what we see in the movie, but go on.
You got Styx, the drummer, also female.
Yeah, and also with very brightly colored hair and is Chloe's childhood best friend.
Yeah, they're basically the same person except for different.
Yeah, they're also like... 18 or 19, something like that. Like, they're young. They just graduated high school from the sounds of it.
Yeah, they're just out of school. They want to cut loose and be in a band.
Yeah, and go play in bars. Great.
And then you got the electric Ethan number one, the one that talks a lot.
That would be Lucky.
Lucky.
Yeah.
I'm just going to call him EE.
Well, his name's Lucky.
Eazy-E.
Okay, Eazy-E, yeah.
And then you have the other one that doesn't talk so much. And that's the only way I distinguished either of them.
Yeah, but what is his name? We get it at one point. They say it once, and I wrote it down, and I cannot remember what in the hell it is. It's they all have the worst names. Like, I just hate their name.
I love Styx. If I could have been called Styx... Okay, so it's Styx, Rich, and Lucky. And I think Lucky is the one that talks.
Yeah, Lucky is the one who talks. But it's not Rich. I don't know. We'll find it later.
He's probably super wealthy. That's why he doesn't have to talk so much.
Well, exactly. And he's got nothing to say. He's also the one who hates being in the band the most. Like, from the looks of it, that guy is the least interested. He will be the first to quit the band.
He's definitely going to be a state senator in about 5 years.
Or he's going to, like... do heroin and ruin his life. Like, there's the only two ways he can go. Yeah, he's either going to become a senator and become a baby-eating pedophile, or he is going to do heroin and become a baby-eating pedophile.
Yeah, it's funny how that works out.
It's really funny. It is funny. their band is called 8 Feet Under because 6 feet isn't enough.
Which I think he says later on in the film.
He does.
But, like, should have been said right away because it's gold, baby.
Should have been the opening line of the movie. I'm Chloe and this is my band 8 Feet Under because 6 feet isn't enough. And she should have screwed it up like I did too.
Definitely. It's just such a biting line.
Oh, yeah. And it really tells you how hardcore these cool kids are.
Oh, yeah. Like, they do the devil sign and, like, lick their lips a lot.
Oh, yeah, for sure. They do the devil sign, put it up, on the other side of their mouth and stick their tongue in between it. So they're rocking out at Grandma's farm, just blasting their music out of the barn. And Grandma's friend comes over, and she can barely even talk to Grandma because the music is so loud.
Yeah, she can barely even talk.
Well, yeah, she can barely give her muffins away. She can barely give her store-bought muffins that she's passing off as homemade away.
Oh, yeah, those are Costco muffins for sure.
Yeah, because normal muffins aren't the size of your fist.
Yeah.
Right? Like, that's store-bought muffin crap. And those are bad muffins, too. Let's be real here. Those are crap, oily, crappy muffins, the big ones.
They're 90% oil. I don't know why people buy them. When you have, like, a big, event, somebody always brings those, and nobody eats them.
Well, when I was younger, I would eat them, and then I'd go, why does my stomach feel horrible now? And I go, well, because you just put a year's worth of oil into your belly. Yeah.
That's at least a half a liter of oil in that thing.
Yeah, you might as well have just drank out of the jug.
That's at least 100 liters of oil in that thing.
What did you think about Chloe just taking all of the muffins, though, and being like, thanks for the basket of muffins.
And then she trashes them, right? Because they have to get them out of the trash later.
Yeah, she takes a bite and then throws them out.
Cool. Worth it.
Totally worth it. Totally worth it to waste that woman's money. Why not? Mm. That woman's a busybody know-it-all that nobody likes.
Yeah. She's not Grandma's friend. She just wants gossip.
Yeah, and she, like, rolls up to Grandma's house just to trash-talk Grandma.
Yeah. Like, it's ridiculous.
And she's, like, trash-talking Chloe and being like, I'm sure that she's gonna fly the coop soon and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, but, like, who are you? You're some woman who was rocking out so hard to religious music in your car, you almost crashed on the way here.
Well, she's very drunk during her scenes.
For sure, yeah. She keeps asking Chloe to Irish up her lemonade, and I'm like, I don't know what that means. Your lemonade.
Yeah. Dangling her glass, or empty glass, every 5 seconds, because she's crushing her Irish lemonade.
I did like that Grandma got the last laugh, though, and roasts Mrs. Joy as she leaves and goes like, hey, Mrs. Joy, here's a scripture reading for you to check out today. Whatever the hell it is. John 3:16 or whatever she gives her. And then Mrs. Joy gets in the car and reads it and goes like, don't judge lest ye be judged, and you're judging lest, and you in judge less. Don't judge more. And she goes, oh, you got me, Grandma.
Ugh, you got me. Well, she had the first laugh with the muffins, and then the grandma gets the last laugh.
Exactly. So then it's supper time. The family sits down. They eat 2 different types of pasta for supper.
This is actually the first scene that was cut from the movie, because there are 2 different versions of this movie, and you watched the safe PureFlix movie.
Yes. So yeah, there is on the PureFlix listing for this movie, it says modified for family viewing. And in like, obviously I didn't watch the other version, so I don't know for sure, and you do know for sure the changes, but I did notice one thing in the movie, and that's when Styx calls Chloe's dorm a shithole and they censor that out. But it's still the line is still there. They just censor shithole out, essentially.
Yeah, there's a dead space in the audio.
Yeah.
So what happens is Grandma goes and grabs the band for supper, before supper happens.
Wait. Can I make a prediction here?
Okay.
Is the band a bunch of potheads?
Yes.
I knew it. I knew it.
It's weed, baby.
It's weed, baby.
They're having a puff of weed, and then knock on the door happens, and they, you know, scrounge and put it away, and she opens the door, and she says, oh, it smells funny in here.
She goes, oh, it smells trippy in here, guys. And you go, what are you, a pizza delivery man from 2006? What are you talking about? You coming into my apartment to bun weed?
Definitely. And that's all that happens. There's also a scene very late in the movie that also kind of got cut, but we'll get to it.
You know how I knew they were potheads? Because when the band rolls up to the Christian college to pick up or to like see Chloe, when Lucky gets out of the back of the hearse, oh, by the way, this band of losers drives a hearse. So that's, yeah. I mean, I know a guy who used to have a hearse and it was pretty cool. We used to smoke a lot of weed in it, but so when they pull up to the school and Lucky gets out of the back, it looked like smoke was coming out of the hearse. But like it was never addressed. It was never talked about. But I went, I mean, that's got to be weed smoke, right? Like that's got to be what that is. So there you go.
And they didn't take the time to CGI it out in the PureFlix cut.
No, and they also decided to just leave that in when he's like struggling to get out of the back. When it's like, just cut the scene earlier. You don't need that moment. We get that he got out of the car. You don't need to show it.
Very much so. But I think PureFlix was very appropriate to cut out that naughty, naughty scene.
Oh, yeah.
And just go right to dinner.
So does anything ever become of their pot use in the movie? Like, is it ever like a plot point? Pot?
Well, at the end, when they're doing the Battle of the Bands or whatever,
yeah,
there's another weed moment that's cut out of the PureFlix film. And that is a moment where she realizes how terrible her old friends were and her old life was, and that she should be, seeking God. So it does kind of play into the plot a little bit. But
wait, so it's like a crucial thing that happens. Like it's like a key moment that's like that causes Chloe to shift her perception. And they went, oh, weed though. Oh, it's weed. We can't have that in the movie. Oh, I can imagine.
Yeah, kind of. But you get the essence that she's struggling between both worlds.
Right, of course. Kind of. I don't know. It's weird that they're like, oh, we can't have weed, but we can show a girl just get mowed down by a pickup truck. No big deal. It's fine.
I think it would have been super progressive for PureFlix to, love weed and keep this in.
Hey, well, when we get our show on PureFlix, you bet it'll be Malibu Down the Family Man, except we'll own a pot farm or some nonsense, or a dispensary or something like that.
Maybe we'll buy California.
That's a great call. Yeah. We'll buy CCU and we'll turn it into a pot farm.
Yeah, sounds great.
That does sound great. Okay, well, that's interesting. That does make a lot of sense. I was wondering if it was just the shithole that was the edit or if there was more to it. So I'm glad that you watched that and could put that together.
Yeah, watching them at the same time was a little hard, but most of the movie was the exact same movie. So it was it stood out quite a bit when there was a scene deleted. And it only happened twice, so it wasn't a real hassle.
See, I was positive that the deleted content from this movie was going to be the revelation that Lucky is gay. I was sure that that's what it was going to be. That it was going to be like, oh, this guy's gay. And then, oh, we got to cut that out. We can't. There's no way we can include that in a PureFlix movie. We can't do it. But they love to bun weed instead.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Down with weed, up with God.
Exactly. Yeah. Grandma makes Chloe go to church, and Chloe's like, I don't want to go to church. But, oh yeah, did you catch this line after dinner when Grandma said, I gotta go finish snapping those beans?
Yeah, she's always snapping beans.
What does that mean?
When you harvest your beans, your green beans, you gotta snap them.
Well, at least at least she wasn't gonna go flick the bean. That's good.
She also meant that, but that was a naughty, naughty version that was cut out.
Exactly. And I love that every girl in this movie has huge mommy issues. Like, Chloe is like, oh, my mommy, blah, blah, blah. And then Styx is like, well, my mommy, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, God, get over it. Oh, my God.
I'm really glad you didn't say tits.
No, why would I?
Well, every girl in this movie has huge tits.
Well, agree to disagree, but So gotta go to church, but don't go disrespecting God by dressing for church the same way you dressed for being out in the barn.
Just total bullcrap. Let people dress the way they want. They're not gonna hurt anybody. But and they're like are always like biting remarks from crowds saying, "Oh my God, can you see the way she's dressed?"
Yeah.
And stuff like that.
Is that girl a zombie? Like, no, she's goth. You stupid kid. Have you never seen a goth before?
Like, shut up. She right? looks cool.
Well, we'll agree to disagree on that, but yeah.
She's doing her own thing.
She's wearing fake piercings because she's too much of a coward to really get her lip pierced. She's wearing fake sleeve tattoos because she's too much of a coward to get a real tattoo. And she's wearing fake hair wigs because she's too much of a coward to dye her hair.
Well, I'm going to start dressing like that, and I can't wait till you call me a coward to my face.
I will. I'll call you a coward right to your face. I'll snatch that wig right off your head.
I didn't know that it was a wig situation until the next day when she goes to church. And she is, like, completely plain Jane church girl look.
Mm-hmm. And I gotta say, probably her best look in the movie.
I like the punk version, too. I like the emo version, too.
I do not, but...
Yeah, that's because you're a coward.
Well, hey, I mean, I got nothing against goths. I love the goths, and dated a goth not long after high school. I dated one of the goth girls in our school, and, you know, good times, but I don't think Chloe is committed enough to it. I think that she's, much like everything, all parts of her persona, she's just trying them on, right? Like, she's not full goth. You know, like,
yeah, she's, I mean, she's a teenage person. She's trying to figure it out, baby.
Yeah, you bet, baby. And she doesn't want to become a pothead like her loser friends.
Oh, no, definitely not. She wants to be more godly, like her future friends.
Yeah, I guess. I did like when Styx asked her if she prayed. She was like, "Chloe, do you pray?" Like, for no, out of nowhere, apropos of nothing. "Chloe, do you pray?" And then Chloe, like, we start to get pulled into a flashback for Chloe, but the scene is still playing out in real time. So, like, her friend, like, Styx is looking at her, like, confused because Chloe isn't answering. She's just thinking about a flashback. It's like, that's interesting to, like, acknowledge that in your movie.
I think it was a really good choice by the director and the writer.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what makes this a film and not a movie.
For sure, because choices have been made.
Yeah.
And if you need to describe your main character, but you don't really know how to do it, just get someone to go, "Chloe, I'll tell you exactly who you are. You're my best friend and the reason we're together as a band." And then you know everything about this person.
Definitely. You're in the band, and you're in my life.
You're in the band.
Yeah.
Yeah. 8 feet under, because 6 feet isn't enough.
That's a great, great line. They should have used it more.
It's also great that they just arbitrarily picked 8.
Yeah, not 7. 7's weird.
Or 9 or 15 feet. Like, anything. Just be like, they should have called themselves, like, 400 feet under, because 6 feet isn't enough. That's way cooler.
He's way too deep. You're turning into coal, baby. 8 is logical.
Yeah, you know, yeah. It's logical. Because 6 feet isn't enough.
And 400 turning you into coal, baby.
How would the gravedigger even get out of a hole that was 8 feet deep? He's getting buried in there.
That's true. They had to stop at a certain point so the gravedigger could get out. That's actually probably the limiting factor.
I bet it plays into it. Yeah, they only had 6-foot ladders back in the day, so they didn't have, like, backhoes to dig that out. You had to hand dig it, so...
Yeah. And if you're wondering, through our 5,000-year history... We don't mix with gravediggers, so we never actually talk to them.
No, God, no. I've never been to a funeral before.
No. We never go to funerals. This is too dumb.
Too sad.
Yeah. Well, they're in heaven. We get it.
Yeah, we'll see them soon. Yeah. Maybe, if we ever get that kill switch turned on, but not today.
And if we ever want to know some really juicy goss, we just talk to God.
Exactly. We just close our eyes, clasp our hands, and pray to the Lord above.
Godfather
hits us with the Godfalker up there.
He loves that. Or she.
Yeah, well, it's a he, but yeah, it's cool. Look, Chloe, you're just going through one of those mountains in life. This is Chloe's mountain.
I'm glad they got that in up top. I really needed to hear that phrase.
Mm-hmm. I'm also glad that they got that great shot of Chloe crying where it looks like she's smiling. And I went, she's a real joker in this movie. I like it.
Yeah, her crying really looked like smiling in that moment, for sure.
We also need to point out, this is her first movie ever. The girl who plays Chloe, actually most of the people involved in this movie, it's their first movie ever. So obviously we're going to be a little critical because that's we are critical, but just for context, none of these people have done this before. So they're doing pretty good as far as just doing it is concerned.
Yeah, the cinematography is excellent. Yeah. I'm sure the church, whoever did the cinematography for this, is went to film school.
Oh, and I would love to see how they light and shoot mass every Sunday to be live streamed. I bet they do a really good job.
Oh yeah, there's star wipes all over the place.
Yeah, of course. So Grandma runs upstairs and dies on Chloe's birthday. Whoops.
You gotta have a death at the beginning, even though you've just established that her parents just died. Yep. And she's certainly like just raw in her grief of her parents dying. Yeah. You gotta have another death.
I mean, not only do you establish that, but like she asks, like Chloe asks her grandma, she goes like, you know, like, do you still miss grandpa? Like after grandpa died, how do you feel about that? And her grandma's like, yes, obviously, like he died many years ago, but like the grief remains, but the pain gets easier to deal with, and like you do eventually feel better. And Chloe goes, I don't think I'll ever feel better. It's like, well, your grandma just told you that you will. Yeah. So
that was the whole point of her story, was to tell you that she went through similar grief, and then your response is like, nah.
And like also, her parents are dead for sure, and her husband's dead, so. Yeah. You'll be fine, Chloe. In fact, you are fine by the end of, like, you don't even care about grandma or your dead parents by the end of this movie.
Well, she has new grief to deal with, but
it's true.
The point of the story is we all have mountains.
Exactly. Yep. And the main point of the story is that the pastor in this movie talks out of the side of his mouth like he's Bam Margera, and that's the real important lesson to take away here.
But not in a cool way.
No. But I did like at the funeral that like an insane biker just approaches Chloe and is like, hey, how was your grandma's attorney? It's like, you were a grandma's attorney? Okay. Good luck.
Another member of the congregation, for sure. Mm. Probably an actual hippie lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
For
sure a biker.
Oh, yeah. Definitely a biker. Vroom, vroom. I feel like grandma's death is so crazy. Like, she just walks upstairs and dies.
Well, and like, as she's dying, she's like, I'm dying. Thank you, God, for all the time you've given me with Chloe. Thank you for my life. I'm dying. And you're like, oh my God. Way to be present in the moment though, grandma. Like, way to be just on it right there.
Sometimes you just know.
Yeah.
You know what's happening.
Sometimes you just friggin' die. And that's that.
And you never died before, as far as you know. So you shouldn't know, but she knew.
Like, not only is Chloe surrounded by death, she witnesses so many deaths in this movie.
And I think causes her grandma to die, because instead of doing the right thing and calling 911 and checking if she's breathing and, like, assessing the situation, she hauls her grandma to the hospital, which would take like an hour or two, like lugging a full body weight down the stairs and into a car is a Herculean effort.
For sure. And like you pointed out, no one's doing CPR on her.
Yeah.
Like, she's just, the reason why ambulances work is because one person can do CPR and keep the body alive while the other person drives to the hospital, not just like driving going, hang in there, grandma. It's like, she's dead. Not gonna do it.
And instead of taking like an hour or two to get this person to the hospital, you could have called an ambulance and had some expert in there in like 20 minutes.
Oh, yeah, for sure. So, yeah, you're absolutely right. Chloe is a murderer, as far as I'm concerned. A manslaughterer, at least.
Definitely slaughtered the man.
Mm-hmm. But, so grandma dead, and we find out that in her will, she left Chloe everything. The Christmas ranch, everything.
Merry Christmas, Oranges.
Merry Christmas, Oranges Ranch to you. On the one condition that Chloe, again, using her death to strong-arm Chloe into doing something she doesn't want to do, she can have this amazing property as long as she goes for 4 years to CCU, California Christian University.
Oh, man. Maybe we should go to a Christian university in California.
It looks dope. You get to live in a dorm.
Yeah.
There's a bookstore. Tennis
There's a
courts.
Bunch of rules that you have to follow so you don't have to think about your path in life at all.
Yeah, you can get up to 24 demerits a semester before you're kicked out. You can flaunt the rules 24 times. It's nothing. Yeah.
And that's key. That's integral to the story is the demerits.
Well, it's key up until it's not.
Yeah.
It's key up until midway through the movie when they go, you know what, don't even worry about the demerits thing anymore. We're not even going to acknowledge that ever again.
Definitely. So... basically, what you're telling Chloe is that she can do whatever she wants.
Yeah. Well, after the first semester, which she barely makes it through, then yes.
Well, that first semester of Christian University is tough.
Oh, yeah. I love that her bandmates are like, is this farm worth giving up on the band? Because like, if she goes to this university, she's not going to be able to play in the band anymore. She's got to move far away from them. And they go like, is it worth giving this band up? And in my mind, I'm like, yeah, absolutely it is. You guys are a high school band. Like, you're not the next, you're not System of a Down. You're not getting anywhere.
I mean, they could be with enough practice, but...
I don't know.
They will never be, and this is a property worth a lot of money. Who does the property go to if she doesn't complete this test? Does it just get donated to the church? Is that ever?
Oh, 100% it's going to just go to the church. Absolutely. I have no doubt in my mind that pastor with the Bam Margera mouth is just licking half his lips, just so excited to get his hands on that property.
Yeah. An interesting choice would have been for the priest to like try to undercut her progress at Christian University.
Like he's got like a spy on the inside who's like trying to sabotage her. Maybe that was all cut out. I don't know.
Probably cut out because you can't make the priest the bad guy.
No, of course not. Even though most of them are. So she goes to CCU, California Christian University, and is acting like a lunatic while she's there. Like she's we've watched Chloe for like the first 30-40 minutes of this movie act a certain way, and then as soon as she gets to CCU, she's like, I don't give an F about anything. I'm a rude bee, and I don't care about anybody's feelings, and I just do what I want. And you're like, well, that's not who you are. Why are you behaving like this?
Well, it could be that her grandma just cracked her life by dying, and hauling that body into the car has got to be like the most devastating thing that anybody's ever had to deal with.
Of course. She did it to herself, but yeah.
Well, yeah, and knowing that you're making a choice that murders your grandma probably cracks her brain a little bit.
Uh-huh.
But other than that, she's being a real milquetoast person right now.
Mm. And also she, like, from the looks of it, put her hair in a ponytail and then dyed her hair. Because, like, so... Chloe has red, she's a ginger. She's a redhead in this movie. But, like, when she gets to Christian College, her hair is in a ponytail, and the front and the, like, top of her hair is just bright orange. And you never really see it any other time. It's a weird choice.
I gotta say, I didn't see this. I was still pretty devastated over the loss of Grandma.
Hard to see through the tears, I understand.
Yeah, and my grief was real.
Well, yeah. So she gets to the school. She meets her roommate, Maddie, who is, again, kind of inconsequential to the plot, but is there.
And just this, like, I don't know, 10-year-old, 18-year-old. Like, she's, yeah. like, everything's pink.
Yeah.
Everything's Christian as frick. She's basically the epitome of what Christian University wants to make you as a human being.
Absolutely. Already, she arrived pre-indoctrinated. She already yeah. knows what to do to get through. They have... I did like her giant St. Bernard stuffed animal, though. She had, like, a life-size St. Bernard, like, stuffed toy. And I was like, "That's I wish I had that. That's a cool stuffed animal."
Oh, yeah. And I wish I was super into pink, but I just don't like the color.
Yeah, there's only one pink you're after.
What's that?
Oh, I'll tell you when you're older.
Okay, thank you.
So, Maddie is, like... Yeah, Maddie is, like, this very goody-two-shoes girl who... has the audacity to go like, "You know, Chloe, we do have a dress code here." And it's like, you're wearing hot pink animal slippers and a short, short skirt. I think they'd have more issues with your outfit than Chloe's ripped jeans.
You would think so, but they got some weird ideals down south.
Truly. And also, like, Chloe does get demerit points for wearing ripped jeans. Just like, I don't... Why? Like, this is horrible.
Which I would understand if this was made in, like, the 90s or the early 2000s, because that's when ripped jeans really became a thing.
Yeah.
But nowadays, they're just the norm. I see lawyers walking around with ripped jeans.
Yeah, riding motorcycles.
I also couldn't really concentrate during this part of the film because I really had to place that hippie lawyer... in the real world, and it was just so hard. It was like fitting a round peg in a square hole, you know?
I totally get. Did you end up placing him? Did you figure him out?
No, when I think about him, he's just such a conundrum.
I was having a hard time concentrating because they bring up the craziest class at the school and then never really address it again, and I wanted to know so much about the home and family class. They mention it a couple times, but we never see it, and I really thought it was going to be an important part of the plot.
Yeah, you would think that would, like, ingrain itself into the plot of this movie for turning Chloe into a Christian. You know, baking bread, baking muffins.
Yeah, buying muffins from Costco, saying that you baked them.
Making cheese.
For sure. Dating. Like, here's the crazy thing about that class.
Okay.
The pastor in that class, or the pastor, well, he probably is a pastor. The teacher, pastor, whatever, in that class makes you memorize 100 Bible verses for that class. But if you go on dates, the professor knocks some of the verses off. So the way Maddie describes it, if you go on 10 dates, if you date 10 boys, you don't have to memorize any Bible verses. Yeah. I need to know everything about that system. How does it work? Why is it there? Like, what's happening in that class? What is that class about?
It makes no sense. And, like, if you go on a date with somebody of the same sex, are you allowed to take off those 10 verses?
No.
Probably certainly not.
You gotta add more verses. You gotta do 200 verses now.
And we find out later that, like, Chloe just lies about two dates and only had to do 80.
Yeah, and you can just lie. He's not checking in on whether you're going on dates with dudes or not.
Well, I mean, he's probably creeping out on a few dates. But checking out a few relationships, if you know what I mean.
Well, for sure. The way Maddie pitches it, though, is it sounds like you get points knocked off based on how many people you go out with, not how many dates you go on. Because she says 10 boys, no verses, right? So they just want you to, like, be banging around at this Christian... Well, obviously not banging around, but, like, dating around?
But that's what it's going to lead to. You can't just, like, go on a bunch of dates with condoms on.
Yeah, you can't just go on Unite and find a bunch of people to catfish.
Yeah, you can't K-sorb your way through life and wear a bunch of condoms all over the place.
That's called being safe and secure.
Better than the vaccine.
Oh, damn right, yeah. What school would allow that? Like, I'm just, it's so baffling, this system that they have at the school. school. I don't get it. Like, even Chloe says, like, can you go on dates with people outside the school? And Maddie's like, I don't know. So Maddie, have you just been, like, banging your way through dudes in the school? Like, bizarre.
It seems like the exact opposite of what you would expect from a Christian university. But it wouldn't happen at a regular university either, because it's just dumb.
Yeah. I couldn't imagine going to a school and then being like, okay, now you have to get out there and start dating people. We want to know what you're doing. Tell us about your dates. And you need to date a lot of people. And we're going to, like, strong arm you into going on dates. Because if you don't go on dates, then you got to memorize 100 Bible verses. God, that's a lot. 80 is a lot.
From what I know about Christianity is that you're supposed to fall in love in high school and then never divert from that ever in your entire life.
Yeah, you're supposed to have...
That's the dream.
Your bedpost is supposed to have one notch on it, and that's it.
Yeah.
Two if you count God, but one if you just count people.
Exactly. It boggles the mind. I think I even just put this out of my mind and concentrated on the hippie lawyer...
That's fair.
...motorcyclist, yeah. Because that made a little bit more sense than this part of the storyline.
Absolutely. It's more grounded in reality to have a hippie lawyer than a school being like, bang around.
Yeah, because the 70s existed.
Yeah.
Smart people were doing drugs. I get that they became lawyers. But this is outrageous.
Hey, speaking of smart people doing drugs... Chloe's friends roll up to the school. Bunch of weed smoke pours out of their hearse. They don't even bother trying to cover up. Crazy. And then all of her friends act like colossal buttholes the entire time they're at. Like, they act like they've never heard of rules before.
Yeah.
Like, that's an insane concept, that there would be rules in a place.
They have been living this free life, traveling from town to town, playing their crappy music, doing weed all over the place, oh. Even while they're driving.
Oh, my God.
So a demerit system? Are you freaking fricked?
Right? Like, Lucky can't even try to kiss Chloe without her getting 3 demerits for it?
Yeah. Tongue first, tongue forward.
Oh, yeah. And also, like, Lucky, we get it. You don't have to try so hard. Like, we know you don't want to be kissing Chloe. It's fine. Yeah. You pick the ugly one to try to hide the fact that you're gay. It happens. It's fine. But just live your life, man. Be who you are, Lucky.
I want to give this person a hug and
don't, that's
tell
PDA.
Them that they're eventually going to die someday.
That's 3 demerits, buddy. You better not give them a hug. That's 3 demerits.
I can't believe this person hasn't been in any other thing. They seem very... Like, I've seen this character in a lot of other Christian movies.
I'm with you.
They're electric even.
Yeah, but I'm with you. I looked up, like the grandma. I was sure I'd seen the grandma in something else. This is her first movie ever. And, like, she's married to the director of this movie, who is also a first-timer. Like, everyone involved with this is a first-timer. But they all have this, like, they all look... It's like... When you hear a song for the first time and you feel like you've heard it a million times and you just go like, oh, this is a certified classic. Grandma, certified classic.
Or are all these actors creating pseudonyms so you don't delve into their sordid history on IMDb?
That's interesting. Maybe they call themselves Adam and Steve to hide who they really are.
Nah.
But yeah. Styx is acting like a crazy person. Like, she barges into Chloe's room, sees, like, Maddie's pink stuff, and then, like, tries to hang Maddie's teddy bear, and she's like, yeah, well, this bear deserves to die. So she, like, wraps a rope around its neck, and Chloe's like, hey, don't do that. And Styx goes off on her and is like, you've changed, Chloe. You're a different person. I don't even know you anymore. It's like, you're being an ass. Like, just, so are your friends not an ass anymore? Bizarre behavior.
And then Chloe's like, oh, that's not my stuff. And
yeah.
Yeah, that settles that.
Styx is very much, like, the people, that, like, the old friends of Chloe's are very much the kind of people that would, like, go out with the intention of like freaking out the normals. Like they're gonna be like, oh, we're gonna be so outrageous, it's just gonna freak all these squares out. It's like, nah, you're just like an annoying ass is all you are. Like no one's freaked out. People just don't want you near them because you're annoying. So
mm-hmm. Sounds like me at that age.
Sounds like me at that age.
Urine,
buddy. But hey, speaking of crappy friends, we gotta meet Nichelle?
Is that her name?
I think it's Nichelle. I'm pretty sure it's Nichelle.
That's a cool name.
Yeah. She's the daughter of the bookstore owner on campus. Adopted daughter. She's from Sierra Leone, I think she said. And
super adopted. She got heavily adopted after her parents got murdered.
She got passed around.
Yeah. And then she was stolen by missionaries, and then she found her way into America's heartland.
Into the hearts of Americans everywhere. But I love that she's like, my parents were killed, and then I was adopted by missionaries, and then they were killed, and now I'm in the care of this woman. Go, wow, yeah. Quite the journey you've had. Very unpleasant. Makes Chloe's journey look like a sack of crap.
Yeah, she really makes Chloe look like a sack of crap, which is what you want out of your secondary character in the movie.
Absolutely. And she's got two of the worst friends ever in, like, I guess Caleb is the worst friend, and then the other guy is just kind of fine and there. He's Jacob or whatever whatever his name is. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, Adam and Steve.
Adam and Caleb. Because I remember one of their names. So yeah, Caleb, they're just, again, earlier when we were talking about Christian boys and how weird and off-putting they are, these boys are the perfect example of that, where they're just weird and like off-putting and creepy and dead-eyed and also very passive-aggressive and mean and bizarre.
But hotter. They're hotter than the guys in the band.
Yeah, way hotter, of course. They're not losers. They're not loser potheads like the guys in the band.
I feel like it was the first intention to use the guys in the band without makeup as the Christian friends.
Mm-hmm.
But then they were like, this looks too stupid, so they got two new guys.
Right.
And then not giving them any lines because they didn't know how to act.
Yeah, they called Billy Talent and went, we need half your band for this.
Are they a talent agency yet?
Billy Talented? Yeah, I think so. I'm pretty sure that was, they launched that a couple years ago.
Billy Talented, yeah.
Wrench is the other member of the original band's name. It's Wrench, Sticks, and Lucky.
Wrench.
Wrench.
Are you sure? Wrench.
They say Wrench in the movie. Maybe they're saying Rich, but it certainly sounded like Wrench to my ears.
I think it's Ranch, actually.
Yeah, I think you're right. This Christmas Ranch was named after me.
Beautiful. Seamless.
Of course. So these new loser friends of Nichelle and Chloe's are like, hey, guess what? You'll never guess. Give up. We signed us up for a Battle of the Bands competition at school. Why?
And oh no, it's on the same day as the Battle of the Bands.
Yeah, of the other band.
Yeah.
The real missed opportunity is that these two things weren't the same thing.
Yeah, like Christian up against Battle of the Bands, same night, same place. Although then Chloe could seemingly do both.
But maybe there's some rule where you can only perform in one or something, right? Like you could easily write in a conflict with that. It's bizarre that there's two Battle of the Bands happening on the same night in different places in the same city, like in the same place.
I feel like they're trying to separate the worlds. They're trying to create this awesome Christian world and this devious, underground, sinister, punk rock, goth world.
For sure. And I'll tell you who's having more fun. The sinister goth world looks way more fun than the Christian Battle of the Bands that takes place in a gymnasium in front of six people.
Yeah, and very sparsely attended, if at all. I don't think they show a crowd at the Christian one, do they? Just shots of the crowd?
There's a lot of empty seats. They show the judges, and then behind them is like mostly empty seats. So not a great turnout, probably because it was a dry event. Who wants to go watch a bunch of bad bands and not be trashed? It doesn't make any sense. You can sit there sober and just accept how bad this is, or are you going to get trashed and have a good time?
And the people who did come to the Christian version, definitely snuck in booze.
Yeah, of course they did. Yeah, did you hear the song that Nichelle's band played? It sucked.
Yeah.
Well, both songs sucked, but that one sucked more.
The only thing that really ruled is the rap at the beginning of the...
yeah. That guy the Battle was great. Of the Bands. That guy was... That 45-year-old rapper who showed up was great.
They really struggled finding a Christian rapper for the right days.
Oh, yeah. They hired Mattis Yahoo, and then he showed up, and they're like, wait, you're Jewish? Oh, no. We want the other thing. Not Jewish. We want non-Jewish religious man. Well,
and they tried to get MC Hammer because he was or is a priest.
Yeah.
But he's too coked up.
They tried to get Mace, and he was like, I turn my back on that life. They tried to get, No Malice.
Again.
And he was like, ah, I'm selling coke again. So
there's a lot of similarities between rapping and Christianity.
Give me some.
Well, you got words.
Yeah.
You got rhyming.
Uh-huh.
It's from the streets.
It's straight from the fart.
And a lot of sand involved.
Yeah, okay, I can see that. Yeah, I mean, while that guy was rapping, sand was spilling out of his pockets, and he kept having to interrupt the rap, going like, "Oh, I'm so sorry," and like tuck some of the sand back into his pockets.
Well, it's to evoke the journey through the desert that the Christians did. I think it was actually the Jewish people did, but who
yeah.
Knows?
But at the end of the performance, he went, "If you look at the stage, you can see that there are no tracks in the sand, and that's because I carried myself, and God didn't carry no one."
Do you see?
Do you see? Do you under? Do you, it's a metaphor. Do you see?
That was cool.
It was pretty cool. Yeah. So Nichelle is like. Just really working hard to get Chloe to be religious. Like, she's really putting the gears to her and being like, no one can give you faith. You don't just feel it. You can only get it by hearing and reading the word of God. But in my mind, I go, but also, shouldn't you just feel it? Like, isn't that a part of it? Is like, you get struck by the word of God? Like, no one's ever been like, one day I was just idly reading the Bible and I realized I was religious. It's like, no. You're like, doing your gardening, and then like a bolt of lightning strikes you metaphorically, and you, oh my, I love God now, right? Like, that's how it goes.
God hits us in all sorts of ways, and we all,
amen.
I feel like some people feel through force, and some people feel through gardening.
Some people need to be strong-armed in death in order to get on board with God.
I shouted out to the heavens when we got our first. Scene with Chloe and Narissa, or whatever her name is.
Nichelle.
What is it? Nichelle. Because you finally get forced Bible reading, and I feel like that's what all of these movies have been missing so far.
Mm-hmm. I want to hear the Bible read by actors. Read it to me.
Or non-acting actors.
Exactly. I want answers to questions like, what about people from other religions? Do they go to heaven or hell? And for someone to answer, I can't speak for God, but he'll do what's just. And all I could think is, Christianity is a dying religion worldwide. Their numbers are plummeting. So there's going to be a lot of empty room up in heaven in the next few years.
But we're here to boost up those numbers. We want a big boost on God.
We
want to hear from you. We want to hear your stories about God. So let's go those numbers up, people.
That's right. We got to pump those numbers up for God.
Well, we got to normalize all the radicals that are left in Christianity.
Yeah. Not enough radicalism. That's what we want. The far side of the equation, please.
Please.
Mm-hmm. What else? Oh, in the middle of the night, Chloe's like, hey, Nichelle, are you awake? And Nichelle's like, I mean, I guess you yelled at me, so I guess I'm awake. Chloe goes, I want to get baptized right now. It's like, all right, you can't wait until the morning? Okay.
No. You got to hit all the Christian hot points. You got to watch somebody read the Bible. You got to watch somebody get baptized.
Mm-hmm.
You got to see a grandma die. It's all the cornerstones of religion.
Absolutely. All I could think during her baptism scene was, I hope she brought a change of clothes.
Yeah. Oh, she's got to go to bed wet.
For real. Like, she just steps into that water fully clothed, and I went, Huh. Like, give her a robe or something. Like, there must be, you're at a church. There's got to be, like, choir boy robes she could wear rather than ruining her clothes.
But do you really want to remove God's juice? Like, that is God all over you. Like, let yourself air dry.
That's a good point. You know, I will say I would love for God to calcitrate my gluteus maximus.
Oh, the glute max jokes. One was funny, but like six at the end?
Endless.
Are just endless fun.
Again, just bizarre, non-human behavior. Just disconnected from reality a little bit. They don't even know the rule of three.
Well, it was just so funny in the table read that they put it in there like five or six more times.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And they went, oh, it'll be great every time. And we'll only have Caleb say it, so it's clear that he just is a guy who doesn't understand when the joke is done, and he will just run it into the ground.
Which is good. It's good for this movie to do.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's very good.
And you got to think about your butt when you're singing.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you got to think, you got to calcitrate your gluteus maximus when you're up there.
Clench, 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 clench. I said it four times. I didn't even stick to the rule of threes.
It's the rule of four.
Well, I'm a bit of a rebel, so.
Of course you are. That's why you spray paint your hair.
Yeah. With spray paint.
Yeah, just with silver spray paint or whatever. So we get to the night of the Battle of the Bands, and both bands suck, but like the Christian band makes it to the finals, I guess, and we never hear what happens to Chloe's band. They just perform at a show, and then good luck to you.
Terribly. Like, I understand that you want to make it seem like this was the bad choice, going to play with her old band instead of playing with her new Christian friends.
Mm-hmm.
But it is like the sound, they turn it off and weird and crappy, and they all play terribly, and they shouldn't have been invited to this Battle of the Bands whatsoever. This is where the second pot scene occurs.
Right.
When they go to, they're like, hey, let's go warm up. And them warming up is them smoking a joint. And Chloe also smokes this joint, which is why she's so looped at the end of the concert.
Oh, so she's not drunk at the end of the concert. She's high. Well,
probably both, but yeah.
How, even during all that, I went, how can you be drunk? You're like 19 years old. There's no way you were getting served drinks at this bar.
No, she's freaked to the bean on weed.
It's gotta be that. Like, we don't see her drink anything. And the boys, when she shows up, are drinking, like, Coca-Colas. Yeah. So they're not drinking.
Soda pop.
Exactly. Sure. So when she comes home and she's so trash she can't stand, she is just a little high off of one, like, a quarter of a marijuana cigarette. A left-handed cigarette.
Well, the bandmates have been smoking weed for a long time, so they're used to it. They can handle theirs. But she's been at Christian University praying to God, so she's susceptible to the devil.
Of course, yeah. And she knows the devil now. She knows him intimately.
Yeah, into me, I see.
Yeah, her eyes are as red as the devil is.
Can we do a quick check-in on how cold you are?
Getting colder, probably about a six now. My legs are starting to get cold. The cold is creeping up my body. I feel the icy hand of death on my shoulder, yeah. Well, we got to get to the second major death in this movie. And and that would be, I mean, because this movie is all about death.
Technically kind of like fourth, if you include the parents.
True.
But we don't see that.
The second on-screen death.
Yeah, yeah.
So they're at it, you know, it's later on, it's several days later. She's not bunning weed anymore. She's at the bookstore with Nichelle, and Nichelle leaves, and then Chloe's like talking to Nichelle's mom. And then we just hear, and they run outside, and Nichelle is just like pancaked on the road, like just dead, 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 laying in front of a big old Dodge Ram, and it cut her down.
Yeah, there's tire marks on her, there's a bunch of blood. It's really gruesome. Well, they really want to hit you. It's a total inconsequential death because the plot has already played out. She's already picked God's side. She's learned the error of her ways. The movie can end now. But you just need another death to spice it up.
Oh, yeah, and also we need more death to strong-arm Chloe into doing what she doesn't want to do.
Yeah, which is continue her life.
Yeah, exactly. So, and also the timing of Nichelle getting hit doesn't make a lot of sense. Like, she leaves, and then, like, 5 minutes go by, and then she's hit by the truck, but, like, it's about a four-second walk from where she started to where she got hit by the truck. So, like, what else was she doing during that time? Dancing in the road? Was she laying in the road waiting for a truck to run her over? Also, they're on campus, so that truck could not have been going very fast. Like, they're on the campus grounds. Couldn't have been going, like, 60. Like, that's, like, a parking lot they're in.
Well, another scene that they cut off is that the priest was super drunk, and he was just driving like a bat out of hell through that university camp, just looking for Boone.
I bet, and he found it. But I bet that I bet that there was a scene cut where her old bandmates offered that priest a little bit of weed, and he was like, "Now I'm losing my mind. The devil's grass is in me."
Yeah, I must drive at exceeding. You know, speeds.
Yeah, what's that speed limit sign say? 420? No problem, bro.
Pedal to the metal, baby.
Yeah, I'm running over anything that gets in my way. Much like how Chloe ran over a turkey earlier in the movie, her friend Nichelle gets run over like a turkey in the road.
Yeah, big turkey.
Oh, yeah. So, Nichelle dies. Just dies, that's it.
Not even, like, injured, and then the hospital, and then, yeah, whatever. She's dead.
Dead.
She's gone.
Totally dead. And then Nichelle's mom does this, like, disgusting, despicable thing, where she goes, like, "So, I need to tell you something, Chloe. Nichelle is very sick. We're never told with what. It doesn't matter, I guess, because she's dead. But she's very sick. She was supposed to die 5 years ago."
Yeah.
And then her mom hits Chloe with this garbage. "I told Nichelle that before she dies, God will send someone for her to lead back to God. And that person is you, Chloe. She prayed for you for 5 years. And now you're here. And now Nichelle's dead. And you have to go commit yourself to God because it's what my dead daughter would have wanted. We prayed for you, Chloe. Why won't you love God?"
So not only do they kill off Nichelle, but they also make her terminally ill and, like...
yeah, for no reason.
Ready to die so they can guilt Chloe into being a Christian for the rest of her life? That's cool.
That's really gruel. That's, like, the gruelest thing they've done in the movie so far.
Probably the gruelest thing we've seen so far. Like, I don't think we've ever called something gruel appropriately until now.
Oh, yeah. Great and cruel. That's what gruel stands for. And this was the gruelest thing we've ever seen. Yeah.
Great and cruel. You're right.
So, yeah, Nichelle's dead. Chloe is, like, being really sassy and flippant while doing the eulogy at her funeral, like just standing there with her arms crossed at the pulpit. It's like,
yeah,
you're giving a speech for your dead friend. Can you at least look like you kind of want to be doing it?
She doesn't have the time. She's thinking about the weed and how fun that was.
Oh yeah, and she can't wait to, like, force everyone to listen to her sing. The
weight's off her shoulders as far as she's concerned, because now she doesn't have to, like, be under the shadow of Nichelle.
True, yeah. Now she can really spread her wings and bang any dude she wants, and she'll never have to memorize a Bible verse ever again.
Yeah. So second, funeral of the film.
Yep.
Which is great.
Oh, yeah.
Really good.
No bikers approach her and go, like, I was Nichelle's attorney. Oh, okay.
The movie should be over now, and it definitely should be over after this funeral.
Oh, yeah. But instead, Chloe has to go back home to Grandma's house, soon to be her house, I guess, in 3 years.
Yeah. Like, well, she needs to steep herself in death again.
So the reason why Grandma was running upstairs when she died is because the present for Chloe was on her bed, and she had to go get the present off her bed, off of, like, Grandma's bed. When Chloe comes back to the house a year later, that present is still just sitting on the bed. And it's like, what did, has nobody been in here in a year? Like, how much dust is on everything?
you gotta get somebody to come do some upkeep and maybe like get the mail once in a while and dust a couple of things.
And what do you think Grandma got her for her birthday?
I forget, actually.
Oh, it's a box of condoms. No, it's a Bible. It's a King James classic.
Oh, King James. Yeah, he made the best Bible.
Oh, he definitely did. He was like, look, you can trust me. I know all the best Jesus stories. Yeah. Wine and fish, we got it. Don't even worry about it.
Yeah, kill a cow, use the skin. This is the James. This is the James Bible.
Of course, two people want a baby. Cut it in half. That's what you should do with it. Chop it in half vertically.
Baby skin Bible.
Oh, baby skin Bible. Happy birthday.
Somebody use it. Somebody use baby skin Bible. It just sounds good, right?
It does. Yeah. It's giving me flashbacks of that commercial that we used to love that started with someone, like, it was like for a children's police toy, and this commercial started with a voiceover going, can you imagine being arrested in your own home?
Can you imagine getting arrested in your own home?
Like, well, only in my worst nightmares I can, I guess.
Oh, man, that's a great way to start a commercial.
Oh, yeah.
Babe skin Bible.
So... the big reveal at the end of this movie is that Styx is maybe coming to CCU next year. Maybe. She hasn't quite decided yet.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe. Yeah, way.
Again, another point in the film where it should have probably just ended.
Yeah, for sure. I love the end of this movie, though. I just realized how funny and weird the end of this movie is. So they're in the bookstore. Styx is there being like, hey, I might be coming here next year. And Chloe's like, that's amazing. I hope you do. And then some Dorcas drops his books. And so Chloe helps him pick up his books. And she's like, oh, what are you doing? And he's like, oh, I got my books. I'm 16. I got a full ride scholarship to this university somehow.
It's so smart.
Oh, so smart. People are making fun of this Nerdlinger kid. Chloe stands up for him. And then her and the Nerdlinger leave. And she's like walking him back to his dorm. But Styx is still in the bookstore. Like, she just bails on Styx. Like, good luck to you.
Yeah, so long. Farewell.
Yeah.
She doesn't want anything to do with Styx unless she commits.
Oh, unless she's
in university.
She's got that sticky icky, you know?
100p.
The dankest of dank. Hey, what did you think of Chloe's mountain?
Well... as always, I cannot wait to talk about the Beggar Vance of the film. I think I have one, and we didn't even discuss it whatsoever.
Well, we shouldn't. We should save that for next week.
Exactly. I loved how Christian it was. I love how they beat you over with the most important things of Christianity. Life, death, grandmas. And it was an all-in-one movie for me. As far as Christianity is concerned, and I lurved it. What did you think of Chloe's mountain?
I lurved it. Hello. I really enjoyed
I love you.
I love you.
The P, the U,
we love
the R,
you.
The E, the B, the O, the Y, the S, it's Pure Boys.
Hold up.
It's Pure Boys.
Yeah, I got two throats.
The P, the U, the R, the E, the B, the O, the Y, the S, it's Pure Boys.
Hold up.
It's Pure Boys.
Say what?